Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
You would be, and I am not Andrew David James.
I will be Andrew David James today, day long. Yes, sir.
You're so cool. I'd like to be that guy once in a while.
Why don't you be Michael Sterling? He's older and has more talent. Yes, yes.
Older for sure. How about that?
How you doing, Michael?
I am doing well. Thank you. Another more than warm day today, I think, here in Los Angeles.
That's right.
I can always gauge everything by my dogs and where they are in their content of the weather.
Wow.
So, yeah, I had to leave the air going again, which is killing me because the DWP is just going to take a vacation. On me,
right? But this is such a beautiful weather compared to what we had last week. I'll take this anytime.
Yeah, so. But I can't wait for the real deal kind of cool weather, cool nights, and all of that to come along. I feel much better. I'm more productive in it, I think. Aren't most people more productive in cool weather?
That's what they say.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, that's what's going on. But, Andrew, we have got a wonderful show today. But let's start off by thanking our sponsor.
A very important thing to do.
Yeah, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed, and Mike Napoli and his crew down there at Performing Arts Live, they're wonderful. That's the go-to site, man. You can find everything out.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, Andrew, another great show this week. We have got the stars of Promises in studio with us today, who will be talking about the challenges and rewards of working with one of LA's most distinguished musical theater producing entities, the Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles.
That's right. The oh-so-lovely and oh-so-talented Shannon Warren is with us today.
As is the equally lovely and oh-so-talented Will Collier.
Oh, my goodness.
They knew they were coming.
Really, guys. So nice to have you, and thanks for bringing them. Yeah, lovely. But before we dive into conversation with Will and Shannon, Andrew, how was your week?
Good, a good week. And like I said, I'm happier with this weather. My little girl, I was walking her to school. You know, they've started back, and September is flying by. But it was interesting to kind of watch, and she looked up, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, I think it might rain today. I hope it rains." And I realized this year she's only seen one rainstorm in the last 12 months. One rainstorm in California.
I don't even remember that. What was that?
It was, I remember because I was seeing a show and I had to grab my overcoat, which I haven't had to wear since like 1987, I think. But it was shocking to think, man, I grew up playing in puddles and splashing in puddles, and I buy them boots, but they never get to wear them. You know, they never get to wear their rain boots. They go right through them before they even get a chance to wear them outside. So, yeah.
So did you get out and about and see any theater this week?
I did. In fact, I was actually involved in theater this weekend. I had two workshops that I was involved in, one on The Simple Mind of Dylan McGee, which was a fun project that I was involved with. But also, I got to go see a fantastic show, an acrobatic dance show, which was very exciting, put on at a small club where they did aerial combined with acrobatics combined with different kind of performance aspects. I was shocked, and I'm always reminded of this, how many amazing artists we have in Los Angeles who have talents and are looking to combine and show those talents, and what a wonderful community.
Now, you said at a club.
This is a small club. There's a couple buildings that are kind of rotating clubs, and this one is downtown LA, and it's right off of starts with an F. I can't remember now, but it was a great little club, and you go in there, and it's dressed just for this event. So people will kind of rent it out, and the landlord will make money just by renting it for one- and two-night events. And it's right down from, you know, all the great stuff going around, Staples Centers and all that kind of thing. A little bit of a drive, but you realize how cool downtown L.A. could be.
Once you get there, yeah.
Yeah, very much, very much. And with rail service getting better, that's certainly a good thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, is the rail service, where does it take you, actually? I would like to know, and I think our listeners would, too.
It's fascinating. It runs from downtown all the way to North Hollywood now. So if you're downtown, you're looking to get a show in North Hollywood, you can jump on, I believe it's the Red Line, and zip out. But more than anything, go to the website and check out how many stations they're opening up. It's amazing.
Well, that's
really
great. But where in downtown Los Angeles does it let you out?
That's a good question.
Is it in front of the, right across from the Music Center?
You can. It's not right across, but it's very close to that. But there's three stops downtown that are really very easy to get to the Music Center for.
I can speak to this. I've taken the subway quite a bit.
Jury duty, if you have jury duty, right by the courthouse.
Right.
Have you been called in for jury duty?
Not in the last year, but a couple times, yeah, and I took the subway down there. Also, there's Pershing Square has some stations, and Pershing Square is getting a lot of, it's getting a lot more fixed.
That's
up
absolutely right.
They're redoing that.
Yep.
There's the 7th Street Metro. You can go to Staples Center on the thing. You can go all the way out to Santa Monica from North Hollywood on the red line.
You can?
The yellow line. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take you all an hour or two, but...
Am I right? Is it the red line that goes all the way to North Hollywood? And you
yeah,
can pick
red
it up
line
right
goes from NoHo to downtown.
Yeah.
Union Station.
And, you know, this is a underground or above ground?
Yeah. Under? It's like an underground subway.
I know, but I've only taken it once in my life, which was not too long ago. A little daunting for me, but, you know, I think of things like earthquakes and, you know, what Angelinos would think of.
It's great. Just don't – I don't recommend taking it, like – at midnight, like I did on a Sunday night.
I did that.
That was like...
That's what I did, too.
That was... I buried my nose in my book and tried not to make contact. Otherwise, it's great, though. A lot of commuters, a lot of nice people.
Well, yeah. The trip there was not so bad, but the trip coming home, dicey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so glad to see Universal Studios' little station there. That's where
right.
I parked my car. At any rate, I digress. Shall we get on with this?
Let's do it.
I think so. And are you going to start this or am I?
I believe you are starting
yes,
today,
am,
Michael.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, a critically acclaimed actor, singer, and composer, our first guest has frequently guest starred on primetime television, lent his voice to dozens of feature films and TV series, appeared on stage at the Mark Taper Forum and Jason Robert Brown's Parade, at the Kirk Douglas Theater in Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, and at the Pasadena Playhouse in the musical Breaking Through. He holds a degree in theater from UCLA's School of Theater, Film, and Television, where he studied with Joe Olivieri, Karen Morrow, Nancy Dussault, and John Hall, as well as Carol Burnett, who directed him in a leading role in Once Upon a Mattress. We're going to have to talk about that. Who, during the past year, he has appeared in the appeared as the title character in the indie feature film *The Case of Jonas Booker*, appeared in episodes of ABC's *The Middle* and TNT's *Rizzoli and Isles*, and played a principal role as a voiceover artist. He can be heard in Disney Pixar's *Finding Dory*, Marvel's Avengers Assemble, Disney Junior's Doc McStuffins, as well as narrating multiple audiobooks, most recently the best-selling thriller The Killing Kind, and various commercial campaigns. No stranger to the Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles, he has appeared in 11 productions to date for them, from The Sweet Smell of Success to Bonnie and Clyde. But he's here today to talk about his starring role as Chuck Baxter in the hit Broadway musical Promises, Promises. Give it up for longtime friend of State of the Arts, Will Collier. He's back.
Thank you. Welcome back, Will. Welcome back.
You got through the whole bio there.
I did. Wow.
And that's all the time we have today, folks.
I was going to say. I'm going to follow that.
How are you, Will?
I'm doing great.
So many plates that you juggle, man. You've got a beautiful new baby.
Yeah.
And you are doing this project, and you just kind of, I saw your television appearance on Rizzoli and Isles, and I watched it again yesterday, actually, just to kind of refresh myself on it.
Oh, wow. Do you have
good.
That on your DVR? Just kind of see
I actually saw it online.
Oh, that's right. That makes it easy.
Yeah.
Well,
did
cool.
A stellar job.
Thank you.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
And in everything I've ever seen this man do on the stage, he does a stellar job. So, and he has worked with our guest star, Shannon Warren here, of course, in the past. She got a very shocking look at Will at one point in a show that they were doing.
Uh-oh.
We'll talk about that later. But
we'll post pictures on our Facebook page, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe not.
There
Maybe
are
not.
No pictures. Pictures
you made,
exist.
Made that very
you.
Clear.
Lucky
That's right.
At any rate, Will, let's start with this. Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles, this is an amazing organization, as we know, Andrew, because of their passion about bringing infrequently done musicals to the Los Angeles stage and in the format of what's possible, financially speaking, and that is a very, very lean rehearsal. Lean is probably not even the right word for it.
Yeah.
Rehearsal period of, what, some 25 hours, is that correct?
Yeah, and for not even completely that, because that's the staggered music calls, etc. So there's 15 hours in which we stage the whole show, and then you have a few music rehearsals before those staging rehearsals. And pretty much the first time you run it is Sunday afternoon, and then you do it Sunday night for
really?
At the Alex Theater, yeah.
And how many, what is the percentage of, because we know this is a staged reading, so there are scripts involved, and can be in hand if the actor so chooses. What's the percentage of actors that can work with the script and or work with the script and of that?
Per union rules, we have to hold the script the whole time. I think we're allowed to set it down during a musical number if that has a lot of movement or something. But generally, we hold on to it the entire time. And it gets a little scary, honestly, when an actor on the stage with you puts their script down.
Right.
As well as they might think they know it, you've only done this a few times with them so far. So, it's good to have that blanket right there.
But are you, as actors, sent the script and the music way before the rehearsal process?
Oh, yeah. We have access to the scripts before we audition.
But how much time is involved before you?
I mean, you can grab the script a week before auditions and familiarize yourself with the sides and the material, and then that's the auditions are generally a month before the actual show, maybe 3 to 4 weeks. So then you have time to
competitive auditions, huh?
Yeah. We have enough people in the company that there's always several people that are available and interested in each role. So we go, and we have different guest directors for every production as well. So it's not just you get to play this one this time, and you'll play this one next time. You have to show up and sing and read, and then they sit there with headshot. You have to bring a headshot resume, and they sit there and they work out the best casting for the production.
And that goes for all of the members of Musical Theater Guild. I mean, those who volunteer their time in any sort of capacity, being ushers or prepping food backstage for the cast and all that kind of stuff, right?
People don't have to audition to bring the food backstage.
They just need to bring it.
We want to get that out there very clearly. Now, who directed this one?
Richard Israel is our director.
Very nice.
Well, you can't go wrong with
Richard. Can't go wrong with Richard. I don't know if he's a friend of the show.
Oh, yes, he is.
But
yes,
Richard is one of my all-time favorite directors and all-time favorite people, and I think I can speak for Shannon.
Me too.
We've done shows together with Richard, and he has single-handedly given me my very best experiences on stage have always been with Richard, so I'm thrilled that he's doing this one.
Which leads us back to the time that Shannon and Will actually worked together in the Full Monty at the Third Street Playhouse.
Yep.
Nice.
Which was 4 years ago, is that right?
I don't know anymore.
I think it was like 4 years ago. Now I've got stuff showing up on my Facebook memories that are...
The thing about that is that maybe that picture was reposted a year later because it was someone's memory a year after the actual fact. I'm starting to get confused.
Wow.
About
Facebook.
Yeah, that's starting to happen, yes.
But electronic memories are now very shuffled.
Anyway, and maybe it was probably about 4 years ago that we did that.
And it was a great production.
We did a show many more years ago than that.
Yes,
you did.
We've known each other for, I think we decided the other day it was 12 years.
Yeah.
We were children when we met.
A mere 6 and 7 year old working together in the backyard theater.
We were doing The Empire at the Hudson Theater.
One of its first incarnations before it
went to La Mirada.
That's amazing.
All those years later, this past season.
And we did that with Adam Lambert, actually.
Yeah.
Cool.
Isn't that cool?
No. Yeah. Well, Justin Michael Wilcox was in that, I think he was in
the one.
He was in there more recently.
Ah, yes. Yeah. I see. Very nice.
But he was in our Full
Justin
Monty.
Justin was in Full Monty, though.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
There's only 10 people in the musical theater in LA.
I think, wasn't that the first time I had ever met you? Was it at that show?
Was it Full Monty?
Or was it not?
Did you see Big?
Yes, of course. That was it.
That was it.
We met at Big.
Yeah. And that was another Richard Israel show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time I met Justin.
Was the Full Monty.
Yes. Yeah. What a great fellow that man
absolutely.
Is.
He's
out there really just landing all these wonderful roles now.
It's
His
so
career
great
has
to
finally
see him.
Evolved.
And he's been on the Mindy Project and
he was at the Hollywood Bowl.
I interviewed him for Broadway World TV for that, for A Chorus Line, which he did there so very well.
Yeah. Right.
That it was
just
a short run like that. But he's been on this program, and you're quite fond of him. I know.
I tell you, a great actor, great performer. His work in the musical we saw him in just recently was fantastic. But everything he does is very, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about MTG, the Musical Theater Guild, and their upcoming performance of Promises, Promises, that's coming up at the Alex Theater here, and that will be on one night only. Is that right?
One night only.
One night only
Mark
to see
calendars.
Promises, Promises. That's right. And
September
it's a stage
25th.
Reading. That's right.
At 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Shannon Warren.
And, of course, one thing that you can – this is a stage reading, so you get a chance to see a beautiful musical, a really cool musical that not everybody gets a chance to see. And tickets are only $45.
Yeah,
so.
And we should tell people that this is a musical that was written by Burt Bacharach, Hal David, with a book by Neil Simon. So it's really pretty spectacular music-wise.
That's right.
And the story is a wonderful story based on the motion picture The Apartment with Shirley MacLaine. And that is when it was done on Broadway more recently, it was with Sean Hayes and Kristen Chenoweth.
Of course.
Will is playing the leading character of Chuck Baxter. Tell us about this guy.
Chuck Baxter. Chuck is a very ambitious young man working, but feeling overlooked in the 32nd floor of the insurance company that he works with thousands of other employees in New York. And he has an apartment up the street that various executives have found out that he has, and they hit him up for the key so they can bring the secretaries to his apartment for trysts. So that's pretty much the whole setup, and then love and romance happens. I fall in love with the girl in the office, but she's also having an affair with my boss. but he's not the right guy.
Sheldon
for her,
Drake,
obviously. Yeah.
Played by
Kevin Simons.
Yes,
the fabulous Kevin Simons.
Yeah.
This character is just hilarious. I mean, it's Neil Simon. I think Neil Simon was kind of... I don't think that he was edited very much in this script as I was reading through it. I don't think he had anyone over his shoulder like... You know, it's just, like, wordy and funny and fast and kind of like a joke a minute. So we're going to try to find...
How do you feel... Andrew, I don't know whether you've ever heard this about Burt Bacharach, but I've had the pleasure of working with him at one point in my career, and I understood it. But people say it's very difficult to sing his music.
I did a lot of music theory as a kid, and I was in an a cappella group in college, and so I'm a very good sight reader, very good, and I can really read off the page. So while it is intricate, I don't find it necessarily difficult. I see that as fun. I find it more fun than
you might be an exception though, but given that kind of a background,
it's tricky. Yeah, I mean it's you know,
I mean,
you're
the
going
tempo
from
changes and
three
all
four
of,
to
yeah.
five four to three again and yeah. four. I mean it's but it's also the kind of thing that once you do enough times, and this is going to be part of our homework before we hit that 15-hour staging session, is listening to the things.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get it, it's it flows naturally enough. It's really sort of dramatically. What's the word? It's like
fluid.
Fluid, yeah. Yeah. It flows. It gets into your skin, and it's not kind of. I think there's some composers that maybe personally I feel write things to be difficult.
To show
just
off,
just to be obtuse and just to be like,
that's
oh,
right.
This is
look
unexpected, you know. But Bert's got like melodies that come back, and it's really melodic.
And he seems to have an impulse for human emotion.
That's what
so
I'm
that if
looking
you,
for, yeah.
If you are riding the human emotion, then whatever changes are in the music are not extraneous. They're there to illustrate the emotional life of the character.
Huh.
So that helps it.
That's very well described, yeah. Yeah.
As a performer. Yeah.
It's interesting. You can find when somebody's doing their art form just as an exercise versus for the effect of the audience. Yeah. And it sounds like this is definitely for the effect of the audience.
Well, yeah. While you both have wonderful songs to sing, you, Shannon, probably have one of the most touching songs in the show to sing, that wonderful, beautiful ballad.
And it's Queen's We Will Rock You, correct?
It is.
Am I incorrect on that?
Different show. I had a little Freddie Mercury. Yeah, so are you...
I'll Never like Fall in Love Again?
No.
The one of Sometimes Your Eyes Look
yes,
Blue to
yes.
Me. What is that one called?
You know, I just heard it the other day.
I just lost it.
Yeah. What we need you to do is sing a little bit then, apparently. That's amazing. How cool.
Yeah, I can't remember what the title of it is, but I've been listening to the songs, and it's really...
Very
all
haunting.
Of her stuff is very fiery and emotional.
Yes.
It's going to be really fun to explore.
It's got to be fun to play, and it's got to be cool to get to do that without having to have the commitment of a full show. Obviously, you guys are well-rehearsed with amazing talents in this cast, but it's nice to have a project that has a duration to where you're not giving up your entire life mm-hmm. to do the project, which is a cool thing.
Sure.
So.
With the baby, I think I'm going to be getting all of my theatrical thrills with this length of
one night on off
for the next couple years.
I gotta tell you, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
as
it
someone who's
the itch.
Been in that position for a while now.
That's right. You have
great.
A son, a young son too, Jack.
I do, Jack. He's gonna be 8 on the 16th.
Cool. Has he grown up to be 8 already?
He's amazing. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So,
and such a sweet boy. Yes. And your beautiful daughter is how old?
Campbell is 7.5 months.
Wow.
She was born last January, and she's
you should
everything.
Post a few pictures of her on Facebook.
Have there been quite a few out
oh,
there?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
she's
It's hard not to. She's got a really great smile. She's got a great energy about her. She's just, you know, she's just like this happy little baby girl. So it's hard not to share that.
She lights up when we were spending some time together the other day, and someone brought out a camera, and she lit up, and she opened her mouth and smiled.
Get that girl an agent. Get to work.
She knows how to work it.
Will, can you tell me a little bit about the experience of working with Carol Burnett? What an amazing! She's my favorite comedian of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a sophomore at UCLA. My freshman year, I had decided I really wanted to be a part of. John Hall had a musical theater workshop that was legendary. It was for a long time before the theater department had a musical focus. It was the place that people went to do musical theater, UCLA, and a ton of amazing alumni, etc. So I decided I wanted to audition for that, and I didn't get in my freshman year. I wasn't prepared enough. I didn't have any songs. I didn't know what I was doing. So I made it my goal sophomore year I was going to get involved, and sure enough, I went and took my first voice lessons, and it was probably the best rejection I ever had. So sophomore year, the timing worked out that John had been in contact with Carol Burnett, who was an alumni of UCLA.
Right.
Alumnus, I should say. Anyway, she was coming to direct Once Upon a Mattress, which had been her first Broadway show.
Wow.
And so she came along in the spring, and I was still so new to musical. I'd done musicals at children's theater as a kid, but I was still so new to the art form as a professional, still a student at the time. I don't think I really was able to fully appreciate the magic of that experience. I was in it. I was having a great time. But I was still battling things like major stage fright, just like keeping
and
my legs from shaking.
What role were you in?
I played Dauntless.
Oh, you did? I mean, that makes sense to me, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. And that was perfect I also just lucked into that because I was kind of a little guy and I had a very guileless kind of energy about me at the time. So here I had this amazing, and she was incredible to work with and super inspiring. And I still have, obviously I have a signed poster from her and a little stuffed frog prince that she gave me all those years
ago. That's great.
I loved her. With the original production of it, of course, her being in that show, I thought it was fantastic. I was very young, but when I saw it after that, I wasn't very intrigued by this musical until I saw it at Cabrillo Music Theater. Mm. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that a Richard Israel production?
It was, yeah.
And I said to myself, oh, this is what this show is all about.
Yeah.
It was so great.
It's there. Funny.
It
it's
was
really,
funny.
It's really fun material.
But
it
looked different.
Betts Malone in the lead role, that helps a lot,
too.
She's pretty incredible.
Yeah, but it was, I think, largely Richard's take on it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it really took it somewhere that was very different.
Cool.
Not out of what it was supposed to be. It was just, it was something different.
Cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's interesting. Carol Burnett speaks so eloquently on the life of Jimmy Stewart and what he brought to acting and to film styles and that sort of thing. And I remember hearing her when I was maybe 15, 16 years old speaking on something about him and just understanding what a love she has for good acting, for comedy, for entertainment. Mm. And her show, I went and watched her show. Her show is nonstop laughs. I don't understand why she still doesn't have that show, because it would be funny today. It was funny 10 years ago. It was 20, 30 years ago. It's still funny.
Yeah.
It's timeless. It's amazing.
There was a time, I think, in this country when people who, on a Saturday night, which is when her TV series was on, that they planned their evening around that show before they would go out of their house to have dinner or something like that. And I when I was super young, I had a job for about 15 minutes at CBS as a page, and I was assigned to her TV show.
Wow.
And got to see actually the audition of Vicki Lawrence to be her sister that took place. And it was pretty cool. And just because of the resemblance, it had to happen, I think.
Right?
But Vicki actually, held her own.
She's got her own talent. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But, and Carol, as you know, an amazingly wonderful, kind
She's
woman.
Nurturing and kind.
All of that.
Yeah.
And she really, the last thing I would say about her is that she left me with little nuggets of you are good enough, and you are, for those 5 years or 6 years after college where it's really hard to enter the real world as a young actor out of drama school.
What, 5 or 6 years?
No.
20 years,
yeah. Right, yeah, I know. Well, yeah, it was still till today, but it was, I could go back and think of some of those things that she gave me, some of those little, and they were little seeds of stick with it.
That's a great thing. A great compliment to her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you ever seen her since then?
I have not.
You should write her a little note.
I should. I should.
Well, I'm sure she's listening. She's a big listener of State of the Arts. I know.
Probably. No, I've heard actually people who have written her for something very special that she has actually responded in her own handwriting.
Yeah, I need to reach out and say hi to Carol and thank her for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Musical Theater Guild's production of Promises, Promises, one night only on September 25th at the Alex Theater. What a great chance to see an amazing, rarely done musical. You can visit www.musicaltheaterguild.com or you can visit www.alextheater.org. So that's musicaltheaterguild.com or alextheater.org.
And again, Sunday, September 25th at 7 p.m. And for tickets, 818-243-2539. Make it a point of putting down your remote and getting out of your house and experiencing the joys of live theater.
That's right.
Yep.
Will, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Can I just say, you are... You do want to come to this show. You are never going to hear. Now, I'm not going to talk about myself in this role, but with Shannon and with Kevin and with the other members of our incredible cast, you'll never hear it better sung than this, or better performed. There's a magic that we capture in that 15 hours. Being a company that a lot of us know each other, have worked with each other so many times at this point, and with Richard at the helm, it's really. Yeah. The scripts are in our hands, but they disappear from sight when you're watching it. Really quickly, and we've got a dynamite cast. So it's
gonna is a dynamite
it's gonna
cast.
Be,
no
it's
doubt
gonna
be about
that.
Yeah. We're going to
be there. Broadway quality entertainment.
Andrew and I are going to be there.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Yes,
awesome.
We are.
Will you hang around and tell us a little more about it as we go on?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Will Collier.
You're going to
Shall we do a live arts calendar?
I think so. I think you should kick it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anne, a dance opera created by composer-lyricist Cindy Shapiro. Composer-lyricist Cindy Shapiro.
Can't buy those through the mail.
I tell you, who wrote this script, Andrew? And director-choreographer Janet Rosten, and produced by Mixed Emotion Theatrics, exploded on stage by incorporating music, dance, and visual projection into cutting-edge stage production that explores and illuminates the riveting life of famed diarist and literary figure Anne Nin. Her world of sex, words, passion, and creativity is one of the most compelling and evocative you'll ever see on stage. This contemporary stage production opened August 27th and continues through September 18th, 2016 at the Greenway Court Theater, located at 544 North Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles. Anne celebrates Anne Nin's story as one of personal and artistic triumph, which continues to influence the world today. Sensuous, probing, compelling, and thought-provoking, this production is presented with one live female vocalist as the eternal Anne, supported by six dancers who, with projections, tell the absorbing life story of Anne Nin. The dancers bring this controversial and compelling work to life, and it shatters stage conventions in the same way Nin herself violated literary and societal expectations.
Cindy Shapiro's lyrics and music, with Janet Rosten's intricate choreography and direction and deeply engaging visual projections, by designer Joe LaRue, weave Nin's story, intertwining excerpts from her diaries and her groundbreaking erotica. The dancers and vocalists unveiled the author's journey of self-discovery, which took her from a naive young housewife into the Café Society of Paris, where she emerged as an important literary figure during the 1930s, through her life in the United States during and after World War II, to her death and its aftermath in the 1970s. These adventures of self-exploration led the author through numerous simultaneous relationships, anonymous and random sexual encounters, at times dressed as a man, bigamy and grand deceptions, which she kept track of using what she called her lie box, ultimately to be revered as a multifaceted, multidimensional woman who created her own heat and became her own sun, S-U-N. Mm-hmm. For tickets, visit greenwaycourttheater.org or call 323-658-8700. And if I might add, the music and lyrics in this production blend classical contemporary, layering with a rock sensibility. The choreography by Janet Rosten, an Ovation Award-winning choreographer, is contemporary with sections inspired by vintage dance.
What a project. My goodness.
It's
wow.
A big one.
Yeah.
But interesting and quite different. Huh?
You know, it's interesting. I think, like we were talking at the beginning of the show, there are so many amazing artists in Los Angeles and so many people who go out of their way to combine and reach out to people all over the place to find something that will evoke a little bit of emotion in them. And as performers, obviously, our job is to capture your attention and hold it for as long as we've asked for your attention. And I think that this sounds like one of those things that is truly a rare mix that you don't get to see many places.
So. Absolutely.
Michael, I have a shout out.
To who?
I've always wanted to say shout out on the radio.
Oh,
is that
okay.
a problem?
No,
it was 1 year ago this week, and I meant to tell you this before the show started, that I met a man named Paul Stroll.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I met him doing a project called Shakespeare and the Beatles, and I liked Paul immediately, unlike most people in this town. And it was so funny to find somebody who you immediately bond with, and I just had such a fondness for him. He just immediately was somebody who I wanted to spend more time with. And it wasn't long after that where he said, hey, Andrew, do you want to come do a radio show? And I said, sure, Paul, I'm up for whatever you want. So I wanted to give a quick shout out to Paul, who's now in Chicago.
Living in Chicago with
directing,
his lovely wife,
acting,
Monica.
Doing amazing work. So,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, go check out paulstroley.com when you get a chance to see what he's up to as well.
And Tony and Tina's wedding in Chicago, for those of you who might be listening to this program, that's coming up real soon, and it's going to be an amazing production, as Paul was one of the original cast members of that show, which originated in Chicago.
Isn't that great? I love that cyclical nature of that. That's so cool.
Ladies
and gentlemen, our next guest is thrilled to be returning to the Musical Theater Guild stage as Fran Kublik in Promises, Promises, starring opposite Will Collier. She will... I just gave you a French pronunciation.
I like that.
You're
like
so
that.
Darn sophisticated. I couldn't resist. I don't know where that came from. She was previously seen as Babe in the Pajama Game, one of my favorite shows, in Triumph of Love, as well as Florence in Chess, and the title role of Violet in the musical. Recent credits include Mrs. Banks and Mary Poppins in productions by the Sacramento Music Circus and for McCoy Rigby Entertainment at La Mirada Theater of the Performing Arts, where she also appeared as Cindy Lou in the Jukebox musical, the Winter Wonderettes, Christmas Jukebox musical spoof, and others. She has graced the stage for Cabrillo Music Theater, one of our favorite companies here in Thousand Oaks, as Maria in Sound of Music, and gave new life to Guinevere in a haunting reimagined version of Camelot at the Pasadena Playhouse. She also received a Best Leading Actress Ovation nomination for the LA Stage Alliance for her portrayal of Amy in Having It All. Please welcome Shannon Warren.
Yes. Ooh, I think they even got more excited, right? Oh my God.
Great to see you. Obviously, we've heard your voice a little bit today, but thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be back.
Yes, right? Back.
Yeah. Tell back me, what's it like
ever.
To work with Will?
Yeah.
Is he as cool as he seems?
He's so difficult.
I would think. You know, he presents this whole other kind of, picture of himself, right?
No, Will is... Besides the fact that he's obviously a professional, he and I have been dear friends for a long time, and there have been a few projects we've worked on together where I've needed to lean on Will a little more than others to help me kind of get over nerves or various insecurities, and he's always a really great
actors have insecurities.
Would you imagine?
I don't know.
So he's definitely been. Been a dear friend on stage and off, and great to work with, and I'm thrilled. And we were talking about this. The only time we've ever played opposite each other was in Full Monty, and that was as a divorced couple where we were arguing. So this is going to be great.
Yeah, it's the first time we get to like sing the duets and
exactly, and like each other. So.
Very funny.
You're all red now for some
reason. I am. Oh.
Well, so we've talked a little bit about the presentation of this project, but I've never seen a Theater Guild production. I've heard amazing things. Tell me why I'm going to love this show when I get to go see it.
Well, I think, first of all, you're going to see some of the best talent in Los Angeles. This cast and the other casts from Musical Theater Guild were an auditioned group of equity professional performers. Most people in our guild have been, if not on Broadway, then toured nationally and certainly worked professionally all over the United States and even abroad. Then you're also seeing a show that you may not otherwise get the opportunity to see. We get top director, choreographer, music directors, and it's a labor of love for everybody. Everybody just pours themselves into it.
That's one of the things that appealed to me the most, is that this really is, I mean, it's a one-night event, so it's not out there to make money off of this. It's out there just to really put something out there and do good for the musical theater community, which I think is great.
People who love what they do, doing what they love with material that we so often don't get the chance to play with, and then also they bring in, you know, incredible musicians to back us in our orchestra, and so it's all around. It's always a little surreal to look around and think, wow, what an incredible group and experience, and it's so I think the audience feeds off of that in addition to, you know, everything else there is to see.
Cool. Know? Is there a sense of pressure with one night only? So I will tell you just a personal, and obviously we do embarrassing moments at the end of the show, which we'll talk about a little bit too, but we see so many performers who go, oh, I'm so glad that I got opening night over with, because opening night is where so many of the kinks come out, and you go, okay, I didn't realize that laugh was going to be there or whatever. Is it hard when you only have the one night to realize that you have to get it all right that one night?
Yes, but also I think there's... In some ways, if you can get yourself to just live in that moment, it also becomes more joyful because it is just that one
time.
That's
a good point.
You just kind of, you have to dive in. There is a lot of pressure. I'm not going to say that there isn't, but there's a balance, I think, of each.
I remember I once had an opening night where I didn't get my pants until literally hours before, just a few hours before the show, and they were still doing a fitting when my cue came on, and I walk on, and the whole thing, the whole night, I just kept thinking, oh, please don't let my pants fall off. And that's really hard for a performer to deal with. So is this show costumed? Will it be in blacks? How is what kind of thing will the audience see when they sit down in the theater and you guys come on stage?
Jeffrey Schoenberg is our costume
great
designer.
Great costume designer.
Now he's got his shop. For our shows, given the limited, you know, it's the one night, so he consults. Mm-hmm. So there will be, you will see sort of not just concert blacks, but, and so there may be some uniformity in color, but mostly we pull from our own wardrobes, and you know, the costumes are not the. Are not the main event,
right?
Unfortunately, with a one-nighter like this.
Yeah, you know. He's there to be an eye for continuity, and I will say Pajama Game and maybe some of the others as well. He's brought in bits and pieces. He brought my dress for Pajama Game, which was, I believe it was an antique from 1950s. It was a great dress. But in terms of costuming the entire company, that we just don't have the time or the resources for that, and so we're lucky enough to have Jeffrey there to be sure that we look our best and look as close to the, you know, the time period. And
I mean, every now and then we did Triumph of Love, for instance, a couple of seasons ago, and that was a fully, you know, there were corsets and there were big dresses and he pulled from his incredible stock.
Yes, there were.
Yeah, so every now and then there's a more costume intensive show, but for something like this, we'll pretty much just be in our spiffy office.
Nice. I know Jeffrey from the Colony Theater. He did Beautiful in the Extreme, which premiered there that I was in, as well as I think he's done the Ren Faire as well, which I have a number of friends who. And he is meticulous, so I can guarantee the show will look good if his name is anywhere near it. So,
well, Jennifer Lynn's your musical director. John Todd is your choreographer. How's it working with both of them?
I've never worked with Jennifer. I'm not sure. We haven't gotten started yet. But John Todd, I adore. And
yes.
He worked with us on Full Monty, and then also we've worked together behind the table. My other job is I work as company manager for Cabrillo Music Theater in Thousand Oaks, little plug there. And he's come out and done some work with us. He worked on Damn Yankees with us most recently, and he's a fantastic
Darn Yankees. State of the Arts has a rating.
I apologize.
My
you
goodness, the language, people. Let's talk a little more about Cabrillo, one of our favorite companies.
Sure, yes.
You guys, I would say lost, but it was a happy departure, obviously. Lewis decided to take a little break, but you guys have some major stuff coming up. Tell me what's going on at Cabrillo now.
We are actually just getting started with rehearsals for Evita, which starts rehearsals this coming Saturday.
Am I in it?
We'll get back to you.
I'm constantly amazed at how few shows I don't audition for I get in. It's very strange.
So we are running the 14th through the 23rd, I believe, of October at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. Little plug there for Evita. We have a fabulous cast. I'm very excited, and I'm thrilled to be working on it on the production side.
How's my dear friend Cindy Murray doing?
She's amazing.
We love Cindy.
Yep. She and our board are taking on additional roles within the Cabrillo structure now, just to see us, now that we are over this hump, this most recent shift and transition, just to keep moving us in the right direction and
Lewis has directed lovely shows for Musical
Absolutely.
Theater Guild.
Yeah.
Yes, he has.
Amazing
he directed the Pajama Game that we just
did. Oh, that's
did.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
He obviously, everything he does has such care and attention to it. He does such a great job, as does Cabrillo. And I think we talked a little bit earlier about how a major upswing in Cabrillo happened when Lewis got involved, and
yes,
obviously when Cindy and Ray and some of the other great board members there got involved as well. But what a cool thing now to see a shift to where Lewis can maybe do some more with Musical Theater Guild, too, now that he has a little
right.
more time.
And speaking of seasons, you know, the Musical Theater Guilds, they're in their 21st season, of course, and continuing after Promises, Promises, the Spitfire Grill, November 13th. November 13th, and Hallelujah Baby, February 12th. That's I've never seen that show, so I'm sure a lot of people probably haven't seen that show.
Yeah.
Will be well attended, and State Fair.
Wow.
Yes, May 7th, 2017.
Wow. You guys do about four shows a season, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It varies between four and five. We're doing four. We did four last year, four this year,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see how much cash we have in the bank at the end of this. We'll get back to you for season 22.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to take a moment and go visit www.musicaltheaterguild.com, you can find out more about that season, I would assume, as well, right? Musicaltheaterguild.com, yeah.
Right, and of course, one more time for tickets, we should tell them, right?
Mm-hmm.
818-243-2539, and that's at the beautiful, beautiful, and recently renovated Alex Theater in Glendale at 216 North Brand Boulevard. Shannon, tell us about, we were talking a little bit before we started here, about the role that you're playing, Fran, and this is kind of a little victim, I suppose, would you say?
I think so. You know, I've only had the chance to...
A victim of her own emotions, perhaps.
I think so, yeah.
That should be on my business cards.
A victim of her own emotions.
in the course of the show, we find Fran. She's gets herself involved yet again with Sheldrake, who is a married man. And so we see through the show her struggle to kind of... find a better fit for herself or I don't know I don't want to give anything away. you just see her growth and then a friendship between her and Chuck and how that develops. And so she's a very emotionally raw, hard on her forehead kind of gal, which I can relate to. So I'm really looking forward to digging in. Absolutely.
That is so cool. I'm thrilled that we're going to go see this.
Me too. Very excited.
Yeah, because it's one of my favorite shows. And a friend of all of ours, I'm sure, Eileen Graff, did that role on Broadway.
She's going to be one of our special VIP guests.
Yes.
Wow.
She met her husband, who was playing in the pit.
Wow.
That's how she met.
She looked down one night and said, I think I'm going to marry that guy.
And she did.
Wow.
And they are still
fantastic.
So much in love. That's the nice thing about Eileen and Ben.
Love to see that.
Absolutely. Well, it's come to that time of the program, Andrew.
That time is...
What is it?
And now, embarrassing moments.
As both of our guests look down in horror, they go, oh no.
And Will Collier, you are up first, sir.
This is hard because I gave away my best, most embarrassing moment story was last time I was on your show. I've already told this. So your audience is going to be a little boring.
Sorry, people only listen once to this show.
We share this embarrassing moment.
It wasn't embarrassing for you, though.
Well,
really exciting for you.
Oh, you're assuming.
Don't ever assume with Shannon.
Also, I have to say, I've become a little immune to embarrassment since this happened, thanks to the miscast series of cabaret concerts that I've done at Rose Bears. I basically try my hardest to embarrass myself.
Where do you do those?
At Sterling's at the Federal.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
nice place.
3 months. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The guy that runs it. Just kidding. So thanks to those concerts, like I really, I'm getting less and less embarrassed. You give me anything to do within obviously tasteful limitations.
Michael's making a list over there. All right,
this most embarrassing moment would have been opening night of the Full Monty where it was so exciting to have gotten to the final beat of the show without tripping or falling or going up on a lyric. I was just so excited. We're standing, we've taken off the G strings at this point, backs to the audience, and we have our hats in our right hand. And John Todd choreographed this. We turn around and we throw the hats over our, you know.
Over our what?
Over our nether regions. And I dropped the hat.
Oh, my.
Because it was opening night. I was so excited. The hat slipped out of my hands, and I had to stumble downstage about a yard and grab it and hurriedly cover myself
up. And those cast members who were not in this particular dance number were in the house for this number, watching the action. And keep in mind also, this was in a 99 seat theater.
And my parents were in the house, and my agents were in the house. Yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead
because
and take
it was opening night.
I'm going to write down all the jokes I have so I don't have to say them over the radio. Okay.
So they got the true full Monty, and then it was like it was even sort of written up in reviews that they got the full Monty that night.
And suddenly the show started touring.
What ran through you at that moment?
Just mortified? Just mortification. And then once I got covered up again really quickly, I just had to break and smile at the audience and let them know that
congratulations, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. It's all going to be okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think there's probably somebody in the house who thought, well, if that happened to him, nothing bad can go wrong in my day. Everything else is going to be great.
And, also, it happens at the end of Full Monty is such an expertly crafted show that it happened at a moment when, it didn't matter. The nudity doesn't...
Right.
The nudity... I mean, yes, there's a light gag that stops actual exposure from happening for the sake of being a somewhat family-friendly musical, but... The whole point is that these guys have gotten to a point where let it go. Who cares?
Right.
And so I really sort of got to live live the theme of the show.
Is that the truth, or did you just tell yourself that after? Now I'm living the theme of the show.
Justified it to myself.
It's a good thing. You survived it and still doing great.
And there's such a build-up to that
moment.
Of
course.
So.
Of course.
I'm sure. I unfortunately was not there on, maybe fortunately, on opening night, but I was there at another performance after that.
As our audience now frantically searches the internet trying to find clips.
Nothing.
Shannon, what do you have for us today? Can you
I
beat that?
I
or
really
is that
can't. I think, what Will said too, though, kind of makes sense for me. After a certain point, so many things happen in the course of running a show that you just kind of, I don't know if you blank them out or if you just learn not to be embarrassed by it. I mean, I've had, skirts fall down or line flubs, but after a while, I think you kind of become immune to it.
That's so true.
It's the truth. I've been at auditions and lost lyrics or something and just kind of said, you know what, thank you anyway, and turned and walked out. But I don't know. Other than that, I don't have nothing that compares, certainly, to flashing an audience on opening night.
One of the things I've learned on this show is we have performers come in of Broadway caliber who have spent their entire life with dressers and every advantage, and they still have stories of the time when they had something happen that absolutely just was a complete embarrassment. You realize every performer has to learn to deal with that, be okay with it, and move on to the next step. I think that's a great lesson for children. No matter what happens in your life, you got to stand up, you got to get through it, and you got to go on and look toward the brighter days. So I think it's a great lesson for life, too.
As did one of our guests, and I cannot remember who this was, though, but they had to... they had a costume change, and it was a large costume of sorts. I think it was a character kind of a costume. And he went on stage, and as he was performing, he started feeling something all over him, and it was a rat inside of the costume.
Inside his character.
Yeah. And he stop. He continued through the end of that scene off stage.
That is dedication.
He didn't realize it was a rat until he got off.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
A
rat.
It wasn't, but wouldn't it have been great if that was for cats? I just think that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to two great stars today of the Musical Theater Guild's production of Promises, Promises. Coming up on September 25th, 2016, at 7 p.m. It is a 7 p.m. start, not an 8 p.m. start. So a little bit of an earlier night of theater if you want to get out there for that. At the Alex Theater, you can, of course, call 818-243-2539 or visit www.musicaltheaterguild.com.
Thank you guys so much for spending some time with us
great
today.
Fun show.
Thank
nice to have
you
back.
Thank
you for having us.
You bet.
Michael,
and
thank you for having me today. This has been great. I had a good time with you. Will I get to see you this week?
You will?
Good. Where?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.